we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Thursday already. Can you believe it? I was talking with my office manager here not long ago, and it's like, man, January is flying by already. And I just don't really know how that is possible. But here we are, and we are working our way through. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. And some of the people that attend some of our services, they're not there on Sunday. They're off doing other ministry and things like that. But we do see them pretty frequently, or the folks at Wyrick Air. You can reach them at 321-632-9538. That's 321-632-9538. Wyrick is W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Air, Heat, and Electric. They are in Rockledge, Florida, where they have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over four decades. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. So I was talking to someone here last week, and they were saying, I am done with winter. It's time for the cold air to go away. I'm ready for it to warm back up. And it had been like two or three days at that point in time. But, you know, I can tell you that when I turned on my electric heat, that the bill went up. But I will tell you who was very thankful. My wife was very thankful that my heater worked. If you were not so fortunate, you turned your heater on and your heater said, gone out of business, you need to call the folks at Wyrick Air. They can come out and they can take a look at that. Maybe you want to call them before the demand for air conditioning kicks in. I would encourage you, don't procrastinate. Give them a call. Sometimes they're kind of slower in their demand. Sometimes the demand is pretty intense. So don't procrastinate and think at the last minute you are going to be able to call them and your problem will be resolved in a couple of hours. Could be, but it might not be. And so you need to plan ahead and don't miss that opportunity. So today I think I'm going to go to what I was going to talk about second, and I think I'm going to talk about that first. So we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to be talking about mercy and truth, seeking mercy and seeking truth, that they're partners together. You don't find one without the other. And so in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 6, it says this: in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So what I'm going to be closing out this little partnership with mercy and truth, this broadcast, maybe one more, I don't know. These are two pretty significant truths that I want to share with you, and so I don't want to cut them short. But both of these passages are going to talk about some of the manifestations or impact that mercy and truth have. When we seek them, What does it do in our life? And here's the thing. If these scriptural truths are not manifesting in your life or manifesting in my life, that is a very good indicator that there's a mercy and truth deficit going on. So let's look here at Proverbs 16:6, and it says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. Okay, so atonement, someone, you know, used a pithy little word phrase to define atonement, and it means at-one-ment. It provides reconciliation with the Father. A more scriptural example, or a more scriptural definition for it, is that there is a covering or a wiping out, an eliminating of the status of sin, the condition of sin, and the consequence of sin. So there is an atonement. So the mercy seat is often referred to as atonement. Atonement is necessary. We are fallen creatures. We are sinners by nature. It's not the way that God wanted us to be. It was a consequence of the fall with Adam and Eve, and we have done plenty on our own to make sure that we are messed up spiritually ourselves. So anytime a person refuses to take blame for their own sin nature, I just realize that they are still living under the impact of the fall. Jesus came to atone our sins, to atone for our iniquity. It says atonement for iniquity is provided through two things, truth and mercy. Truth and mercy. And we've talked about those things are eternal. That means, okay, you'd have to go back to listen to yesterday's program extrapolation or exposition of that. That would be Psalm 100 and Psalm 115. Psalm 100, verse 5, Psalm 115, verse number 1. But what that means is that it's always available for you. The fact that it is everlasting, that it's enduring, means that the lie that the enemy would tell some of you is that you've sinned too much, God doesn't want to have anything to do with you, and that your sins are not going to be forgiven and you're going to split hell wide open. Okay, that's the lie that the enemy wants to tell you, because he still wants you living in bondage. He doesn't want you living in freedom. The truth that God wants you to know is that he is a God rich in mercy, and his mercies are brand new every morning. And you may not have availed yourself of his mercy and his truth yesterday, but the truth is it is available again today. It is very important that we recognize the truth of God. The truth of God reveals to us the mercy that is necessary for our sins to be wiped out and to be reconciled. You're not going to heaven because you're an American. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm going to heaven because Jesus lives in my heart and he's forgiven me of my sins and he's the Lord of my life. That's the only way to get there. So you've got to be willing to embrace the truth of God that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. I heard somebody say, we need to quit talking like that. And as like, why would we quit telling people the truth? Okay? So a few years ago, I don't remember if it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, it might have been four, But God made this statement to me in one of my prayer times, and it was, in the land of darkness, light is offensive, and in the land of deception, truth is offensive. But you know what? Light is still light, even when people choose the darkness over the light. Doesn't change the nature of the light at all. And if a person rejects the truth is still the truth. So the saying that many Christians have, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, is really one step too many. God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it, I believe it, everybody believes it, or nobody believes it, God said it, and the truth of God is going to be true forever and ever. So what I see in this passage is that when you are ready to embrace the truth that you're a sinner that's in need of a Savior, this is a blatant, unveiled salvation message today. Whether you've never asked Jesus into your heart or whether you have, but it's been a long time. Maybe you were once in fellowship, once very active in church, and now you don't have anything to do with it. I'm after your heart today. Because the truth is that Jesus loves you, that Jesus wants to forgive you of your sin. And don't believe the devil's lie that you've done too much. Also, do not believe the devil's lie that says, well, you don't really need to do that. You know, so if the first lie doesn't work on you, he will try the second lie. The first lie, he tries to tell you you're in a hopeless situation, that you're such a miserable spiritual failure that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And if that lie isn't convincing, then he will follow it up with this lie. Well, everybody's going to go to heaven. You know, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? Well, God does love the world, and he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. But the truth is, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross was necessary because the soul that sinneth shall die. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. So we have to embrace the truth that says, I need a Savior. We also have to embrace the truth that the only Savior who can pardon and atone for my iniquity, my sin, my rebellion, the only one who can do that is Jesus. I can't pull myself up by my bootstraps. You can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So the good news is that there is a solution to our spiritual problems. That God had the solution before our problem ever arose. So let's go back and look at this again. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. So once we embrace the truth that we need a Savior and embrace the truth that Jesus is the only Savior who can provide the forgiveness of our sins, then we have to accept that His mercy is there. And I'm always thankful for His mercy. I don't know if you've ever had somebody come up and give you an extravagant gift. I mean something that was just so over the top. It wasn't Christmas, wasn't your birthday, it wasn't your anniversary. It was just somebody did something that was unbelievable And I mean, you knew that the gift was something that was greater than what you deserved. We've given away a number of things through the years, and I will tell you, it's easier for me to give things away than it is to receive them. And I'm just not attached to a lot of stuff. It's just, you know, just tools to me. A house is a tool. My vehicles are tools. The things that I have, they're tools to help me to accomplish something. There are a few things that I've got that are tied to memories. But for the most part, you know, there was a joke about a person who was very materialistic, and I mean, he just loved the status symbol, so he had to have the most prestigious car and the most prestigious clothing and the latest jewelry or, you know, watches and all of that sort of stuff, and had a really expensive watch on, and had his arm going out one day, and there was a really bad accident, and his this is fiction, by the way, so don't get grossed out over something that's, and in this accident, this guy's car is just destroyed, and he gets out and just starts reading the person that he had the accident with, the Riot Act, and he said, I'm a lawyer. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to take you for everything that you're worth. And the guy said, man, you are just so materialistic. He said, here you are ranting and raving about your car and your suit being torn and all of that sort of stuff, and you hadn't even noticed that your arm's not there. You need to get to the hospital right away. And the guy looked down at his left arm and he said, oh no, my watch is gone. You know, there's a lot of people that are attached to stuff. You know where stuff ends up? It either ends up in a museum or it ends up in the junkyard. Stuff isn't where it's at. So I'm used to giving things away, but, you know, I had a few years ago somebody that called me and they said, you're always doing things for other people. And we've got a vehicle and they gave me a vehicle. Just gave it to me. They don't come to my church. I've known them for decades, and they said, you're just all the time helping. And they said, this is for you. Don't give this away. This is for you. And it's such an extravagant gift that I cannot think of them without thinking of that over and above gift that was just more than what I could have ever expected. That's what mercy is. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. His grace is he gives us things that we don't deserve. And both of those things are very true. So the truth of God reveals to us our great need and God's great provision, and God's mercy applies it to our life. Because here's the thing that the devil doesn't want you to know. God wants to forgive our sins. That's why the cross is such a powerful message. It says, look, I'm not looking for a reason to send you to hell. I'm looking to make a way for you to spend eternity with me in heaven. And that's wonderful. There's one more part to this partnership that we'll talk about today. And it says this, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs, say that word with me, departs from evil. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. You see, when you realize the truth of the awesome God that we serve, and you realize the tremendous mercy that has been lavished upon us, then we stand in reverential awe of his gift. You know, the things that he has cleansed. And when you do that, it should change the way that we approach God. There should be a serious respect factor for God. There should be an awe of who he is and what he's done in your life. And because of that aspect, I mean, just at some point in day, take a few minutes, sit there, close your eyes, and realize that God is bigger than the universe, more holy than any person that you have ever known in your entire life, more powerful than all of the armies in heaven and in earth, wiser than the wisest people that have ever lived, and loves better than anyone else could ever love, is extremely focused on the details of your life, what you think, what is coming up, has provided plans for your life and details for your life and orders the steps of your life. He is a personally involved God. You think about all of that magnitude and that he knows you by name and see if you still come away with a disdain or a disrespect towards God. I don't know that it is really all that possible. While we've been pastoring, my wife was always the one that stayed home to make sure that, you know, the kids were there for school and things like that. So she did not get to go with me to a lot of ministry events where I would talk with, you know, the district superintendent or the people in the district office or things like that. And so I would come home and I would say, They asked about you. They asked how you're doing, and they said, and she would say, no, they didn't. And I said, yes, they did. They asked about you. They asked about the kids by name. And it was always hard to conceive because she was behind the scenes. But that doesn't mean that she was being ignored. In fact, they pray for the pastors and their families and have an amazing awareness of everything that is going on in all of their lives and everything. It truly is an awe-inspiring level of knowledge. That sort of relationship towards God, the fear of the Lord, compels us to leave evil behind and embrace holiness. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Now, remember, we started talking about mercy and truth. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to start talking about God's mercy, and then I'm going to transition back to his truth. The mercy of God says he loves me exactly the way that I am. But the truth is he loves me too much to leave me there. So God is constantly inviting, constantly calling, constantly surrounding us with motive and reason and people in our lives because he wants us to depart from wickedness. He wants us to leave behind the things that do us harm. Okay? A few weeks ago, I shared with you one night. My wife and I, it was a late night run. I'd grilled out dinner earlier, and I ended up going out for food that night, and I ate way too much. I ate a cheeseburger. I split onion rings with her, about 90 to 10. And then I had ordered a large milkshake, and it was massive. And so I, as I was miserable that night, writhing because I had no self-control that night whatsoever, and I ate everything that was put in front of me, I said, God, this is what gluttony is. Gluttony is not going back for seconds. Gluttony is when you eat to the point that you have actually harmed yourself and injured yourself. And God, I want you to know I repent. And so we had the opportunity to go back to that exact same place. And here's what I did. We ordered the exact same thing, except for this time I knew the size of the milkshake. And I whittled it down, not one size. I whittled it down two sizes. And I cut the hamburger in half. I only took a small portion of the onion rings. I behaved myself. I said, I'm not going to make the same mistake I did last time. The mercy of God, the truth of God, when we seek it and we have that reverential awe of God, the natural byproduct, it is supernaturally natural that we are motivated to leave evil behind. We don't want to make the same mistake over again. If you were a liar, now you want to tell the truth. If you were lazy, now you want to work. If you were a thief, now you want to be a person who gives and blesses people. Depart from evil. It's the message of the cross. It's the message of the atonement. God has broken the chains, released us from the strongholds that kept us sinning over and over and over again. And he did it with mercy. He did it with truth and giving us an awe of God that says, the things that God has for me are better than anything that the devil has. See, I think the power of temptation is broken when we realize the truth of God's blessings. Even the least of the blessings of God are greater than the greatest temptations the devil has to offer you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
In this obsession with the things this world says make us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now